Daniel from 50Finney, the author of this article, to talk about the account abstraction.
You can basically also do some limitations and say, okay, for example, you want to limit how much USDC.
How do we to understand the context of account abstraction, this account and this abstract?
Great question. So the definition of I mentioned this earlier, but just to go over it again, some of the benefits for...
Although a compromised solution such as EIP 4337 still have practical issues such as high gas and poor compatibility. Hello everyone, I'm your host, Youfu. Welcome to the 30th episode of Yaki Toki. The concept of account abstraction was first proposed in EIP 86 in 2017, and its purpose is to achieve abstraction of transaction origin and signature. The improvement of human accounts is a seven-year experiment. The wallet address that must be self-hosted is the user's account in the chain world. But it is also a major barrier that prevents users from entering Web3. The account abstraction enables us to use smart contracts logical to specify the effort of transactions, as well as fee payment and validation logic. This provides a number of important security benefits, including multi-signature and a smart recovery wallet, the ability to change keys without changing wallets, and quantum security, of course. The hardcore article, Account Abstraction, a Crucial Step Ensuring Ethereum's Adoption, has been translated by Daraki as part of its ongoing research on the topic of account abstraction. And today we are so glad, happy, so honored to inviting Daniel from 50Finney, the author of this article, to talk about the account abstraction with us. So welcome, Daniel.
Thanks, Youfu. Nice to be here, nice to be on this platform and share on the topic of account abstraction with everybody else. Nice to have everybody else. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a great article. It's we translated and a lot of people read it. And so we are here today to talk about this account abstraction. So could you introduce yourself first, and what is the primary areas of your involvement to the community?
Great. So I've been in the crypto world for I think close to about 10 years now, 9, 10 years. So as usual, everybody got started with Bitcoin. I think that was my first purchase, and that was my first foray into the world of crypto. But after a while, after trading and heavy losses and stuff like that, eventually discovered Ethereum. That was around 2016, after the ICO and after all of the buzz around Ethereum and what was going on back then. And then that was when the whole things started to emerge, started to look at how to build an Ethereum, what were smart contracts, because the entire concept of smart contract fascinated me a lot. So I wanted to get into that and understand how to work and build on the Ethereum smart chain. And so I connected with a bunch of developers, because primarily I work with developers too myself to build projects and also consult with people who want to build software projects too as well. And so that was sort of the beginning for me. Obviously, I traded and I also bought a few tokens myself. And then fast forward into the 2020 summer, where we had the DeFi summer. And so that was when I started to take a look at what was going on in the world of yen finance, current finance and other dApps that were coming out back then. I started to use them pretty much primitively, and then started to test them and then see how all of that was going. I was very, very, like anybody else, I was actually amazed at what at level of stuff that was really going on back then. So all of that, led me down to the start of 2022, when I said, If I really want to stay on this community, I need to also sort of contribute and also sort of find a medium to put all the things I'm learning into a platform. And so that was how I started 50Finny in January of 2022. That was last year. And the goal was essentially to just talk about stuff that was primarily on my mind when it comes to the crypto world, specifically around Ethereum or anything that's interesting around Ethereum. And then sometimes anything that is fascinating to me or a new concept that I think more people should know and learn about. So that's what 50Finny is all about. Right now we continue to put out articles twice every month. So yeah, that's what we're doing currently to this.
Wow, thank you. And you are really an OG, I think, in this industry. Yeah. So since before we start, we talk about the Finny, what are the main, and today the account is a Ethereum account, right? So what types of Ethereum accounts are currently available, and how do they typically function? What types of Ethereum, how do they typically function?
Okay, so for account abstraction, it's important for us to sort of look at it from a holistic angle. And so right now in the world of Ethereum, we currently have two accounts. One is the externally owned accounts, EOAs, and the other one is the contract accounts. And so the difference between the externally owned accounts and the contract accounts are the externally owned accounts are accounts that everybody has. A regular user, you know, using your MetaMask, you know, once you sign up for MetaMask and you start using it, the address you currently own is called an externally owned account. So with that, you can easily sign transactions, you can do transfers, you know, you can buy tokens, you can sell tokens with that. But with contract accounts, they're actually created through smart contracts. And so with that, you essentially are controlling that account via some form of logic on the Ethereum network. And then there's some sort of costs, you know, that's associated with that kind of account. And you can't just send from those accounts instead. So with the smart contracts, you can just configure the smart contract accounts, you know, to only send a transaction or as a response to receiving another transaction. So those are the kind of things that you can currently do with the contract accounts. But with your regular account, you can transfer, you can send, you can buy. But there's limitations with the contract account. So that's the two. That's the difference between the regular addresses, which is the EOAs, and then the contract accounts.
Yeah, and among all of this types of accounts, which kind is typical used or mostly used now, and what's the benefits and the drawbacks of it?
All right, great. So for the typically used account, which is the externally owned account, that's the EOAs. That's the account that is common amongst many people today. I think right now the Ethereum network has we have well over 25 million accounts already right now available as it today. I need to fact check that, but I think it's the last time I checked, that was the one that was the number that I remember. And then for contract accounts, those are the ones that are primarily used by developers, so people who are building your smart contracts for different dApps such as Yen Finance, Curve Finance. Whenever you deposit into those protocols, you're depositing into a contract account made by a smart contract. And so the most commonly used accounts right now is the externally owned accounts. And so in terms of its benefits and its drawbacks, some benefits to the externally owned accounts, like I already mentioned before, with the external accounts, you can do a lot of things easily. You can transfer tokens, you can buy tokens, you can send tokens, you know, you can track transaction types, and you're not limited to only sending transactions based on when you receive a transaction. But for the contract accounts, they are limited because one, they are controlled by the smart contracts and by the developer. They don't have keys to them. And so it's controlled by essentially one account. And so yes, there's limitation on that side of things. Another limitation to the contract accounts is that they are only able to send transactions when they receive transactions. So they are not able to send transactions on their own. They are only able to do that in response to receiving a transaction. So, for example, when you deposit a token into a smart contract, because you're the one sending the transaction to the contract account will now send you a response back as a transaction to say, oh, it's confirmed that the deposit has been done or deposit has failed. I don't know if that makes sense.
Wow, thank you. And we're talking about account abstraction. And what has caused this account abstraction to gain popularity again?
All right, thank you. So the basic reason why account abstraction has basically come up again in the zeitgeist and is now very popular is that we are at the stage whereby Ethereum is now beginning to talk about scaling. You understand? So now you're seeing things like layer twos, you're seeing things like ZK knowledge, seeing things like ZK rollups and likes of them. We are now entering that transition phase ever since the merge happened, whereby we need to start talking about scalability for Ethereum. And account abstraction is one of those things that will actually allow us to achieve scalability on the Ethereum network. And so at the last DEF CON in Bogota, where Vitalik himself spoke, it was one of the topics that was really, really spoken about by most of the speakers at the conference. And there was a major talk on account abstraction and how people could kind of understand it and see how they start to prepare their minds towards some of the features and the functionalities that would be enabled once we have account abstraction live. And so this is the reason why the popularity is beginning to grow. And it's for a good reason. And it's so that many people who are sort of critics of the Ethereum network who are saying, oh, look, why is it taking so long for the Ethereum network to scale, can start to see that, look, there's a lot of progress, there's a lot of work being put into this and to make it go live as soon as possible.
Oh, thank you. And speaking about this, how do we to understand the context of account abstraction, this account and this abstract?
Great question. So the definition of when we want to define account abstraction, we sort of have to look at it from what the word actually themselves actually mean. So if you take out account from it and look at what abstraction itself means, this is almost this basically taken from a computer science technique, understand, and software engineering, whereby you break things down from between a higher level and a lower level. And so when you abstract things in software engineering, it simply refers to hiding information and allowing users to use the computer at a higher level without understanding the logic or the processes occurring underneath thoroughly. So when you're using your computer right now, you're probably using your web browser, you're probably using an email client to send emails. But at the lower level, the computer is actually running in ones and zeros, in bits. So you don't actually need to know what the zeros and ones or what the bits are for an email to be sent, or what the zeros and ones are for you to send a file from your system to your flash drive. All you need to just look is the user interface that shows you that, look, your flash drive is connected to your system, and you can make a copy of a document from your system into your flash drive. So that's one level where abstraction works, such a way that it has made it separated into a high level overview for you and taking you very separately from the low level of things. And so if you're looking at that in terms of blockchain and bringing it down to the level of blockchain, account abstraction, you know, basically allows us, you know, to create different type of user experience or a different type of interface for users without them knowing the integrity or the details about how the Ethereum chain works or how the Ethereum chain is going to make the transaction work out. And so in that case, in terms of user experience, in terms of usability, many things that we currently know today we'll be taking off, because now we will now have a different user interface to work with that would allow us to generally interact with the Ethereum chain without even knowing that we're acting with the Ethereum chain. The same way you plug in your flash drive to your system today and you copy a file, that kind of experience whereby you don't even know what's going on, that you don't know where the ones and zeros are moving or where the bits are going to. That's the same way in which with a kind of abstraction, it allows us to bring in all of these new user experience, all of these new features into the Ethereum network that will allow more users do a lot of things, that will allow scalability, that will allow for faster transactions.
Ah, great. And so how does this account abstraction work?
Great. So in terms of how account abstraction currently works today, so the idea for account abstraction is that all of the features, like I said, you know, I mentioned earlier that we have externally owned addresses and we have contract addresses. And so the goal for account abstraction is to combine the features of both of this type of accounts into one, such that everything now becomes a contract account. And so with that, you can now do a lot of the things that a contract account would do, which is you can now configure an account with a smart contract. You can also send and transfer a token without having to be an externally owned address. You can basically also do some limitations and say, okay, for example, you want to limit how much USDC is taken out of your wallet when you connect to a certain DApp. For example, say you connect your wallet to Yen Finance. You can configure your wallet to only allow a withdrawal of 50 USDC at any point in time when you're using 50 Phoenix. So something when you're using a DApp or maybe, for example, Yen Finance. And so that way, it brings a lot of security features that was not previously existing. Take a look at what's happening today, whereby we have a lot of hacks going on, whereby some bridges or some users are complaining about their accounts being hacked, and then tens of thousands of dollars are being stolen. With account abstraction, people can impose limits on how much they can actually let go or how much withdrawals can be made on their account by default without having, you know, without having to really know how to code that into the smart contract. So with the new tools that we built on this type of accounts, basically the number of acts that we're having today will basically go down to zero or be very, very minimal, because now the hackers will be limited, and they'll be limited to what they can do when they finally get access to your wallet, when they finally get access to your account. So they can't do things anymore the same way they used to do, because now you've imposed limits and then it's only you that can make that correction happen. Unless they basically do a very thorough hardware hack on you, and then they're able to get your passwords and everything. But if they're only able to just get access to it to make transactions, then they will be limited and they'll be imposed, because they don't know which of those things you've set or the parameters you've set to basically allow your account function. Similarly, you can have time limit for accounts and say, okay, I only want this address to exist for a certain period of time, after which you can self-destruct, you know. So several things like these are things that, you know, can be done. Also, when it comes to paying for gas as well, it can be set such a way that you don't have to pay for gas yourself. The DApp you're connecting to can pay gas on your behalf for you. So you don't have to worry about, oh, do I need to have an Ether to pay for transactions? Similarly, you might not even need to use it anymore again for transaction cost. You can use any token you have, which can automatically convert back to Ether and pay for that transaction. So those are some of the things that will happen when a transaction goes live and this design will work.
Wow. Yeah, it's a lot, and it's clear. At least I don't know what it is before, but for now I can understand some. Yeah, thanks. That's great. And since we have this now, what are the benefits of account abstraction over existing account types?
Yeah, so I think I mentioned this earlier, but just to go over it again, some of the benefits for kind of traction account over other assessing types is that now we are able to combine the benefits of the two types of accounts that we had earlier, which is the externally owed accounts and the contract accounts. And so with that in mind, when you have the power of two into one, then you know the possibilities are endless. And so you can do a lot of things, like I already mentioned to you, when it comes to paying for transactions, you do not need to have it anymore as the requirement to carry a transaction on the Ethereum network. If you only have USDC, if you only have Uni, if you only have Curve on your account or on your address, you can use that to pay for transaction, and then it will automatically convert when you're making a transaction. So that brings a better user experience for users. Another one that I can also mention as well is that you can also set limits on what type of transactions can happen on your account, and also set limits on the amount that can be withdrawn or the amount that can be deposited into an account. So that way you can put controls over what it is your address does. And that way, if you're exposed by any hack or by any malicious player, then you can control the limit of the damage that happens with your accounts. Also, another benefit too as well is that this makes things very simple for the everyday user who doesn't actually know anything about computers or doesn't actually know anything about the blockchain or Ethereum. They can simply just use the account based the same way they use their regular bank account. Your regular bank account, you can set transaction types, you can set a limit, you can set the kind of account you have, whether it will be savings or be current, or deposit. So it's the kind of things that you can actually do, because now with a kind of abstraction, you can abstract the different layers or different features that your account can actually do, and then use that one for different purposes. So I don't know if that makes sense, and if you got that clearly.
Yeah. Since we're talking about this using purpose and what we're going to do, so account abstraction, which are the practical case using scenario?
Great. So for me, practically, right now, one of the most practical use cases for account abstraction right now is in the world of DeFi. And right now, I don't know how frequently you've used DeFi platform or DeFi protocols. If you want to deposit into a smart contract today, you would have to do about two or three transactions before you can actually make the deposit. So first and foremost, you need to connect your wallet to the dApp. That's number one. Number two, you need to approve for your token to be deposited into the smart contract. And then number three, you now need to make the deposit transaction into the smart contract. Now, with account abstraction, you don't need to go through step one, two, three anymore. Those three steps can be combined into one, and you can just simply sign a transaction, and then it deposits, it approves, and then it can even go ahead and then borrow funds again from that smart contract, all in one step. So that's one of the very clear and practical scenarios today for account abstraction. Another one that is very, very practical is the issue of social recovery, which Argent currently does. And so with social recovery, the issue of you losing your private keys to your wallets is now gone. Currently today, if you use a private key, as everyone knows, once you lose your private key, you're not able to have access again to your address or to your tokens. But with social recovery, you can basically pre-approve a list of addresses or a list of friends who can help you to verify that you are a user of that address or that account, and then it will automatically be recovered for you. And then you can continue using the address, whether or not you lost the keys or not. So those are two main benefits or two practical case scenarios today that are practically very, very useful if a account abstraction goes live.
Yeah. So I'm adding some of my personal questions. You said this account abstraction. One of the using case is that if I forgot my keywords of my wallet, I can I can redo it, right? Without these keywords. So is that kind of similar like the for example, Google remember my password, this kind of function or not?
No, it's not similar. So with social recovery is using your social circle. So your friends, your family, or people mm-hmm. that you trust. And so the idea is that when you set up your accounts, you can pre-approve certain addresses that belong to your friends, that belong to your family, that belong to people who you trust. It could be your wife, it could be someone, it could be your significant other. And so in a scenario in future whereby you do not have access to your account anymore or that address anymore, rather than you losing everything, you could basically select those people and then they can verify by signing transactions to prove that you are the owner of that account, and then it will be recovered for you on chain so you can start using the account again.
I get it. So this will be very, very helpful because now it's a lot of things. This reminds me of a news that one guy, he long time ago, his account, his wallet got thousands of Bitcoin in it, but he forgot the password. If this can be used, I remember that's maybe millions of dollars when the price is high.
Exactly. So in that case, if he had pre-approved, you know, a bunch of friends or family, you know, to basically help him with social recovery, then he doesn't have to lose that money anymore. And then he can just connect with them and then they can verify he's the owner. And then it's back to using the account again.
Yeah. So could you introduce to us a little bit about Fenty? What did you do and what is your goal in the future?
Great. So for 50 Fini, I mean, before we started on the show, I mean, I remember you asking about this. And for me, 50 Fini was sort of like an inspiration while looking at the units of Ethereum. So we have Gwei and we have Wei and the likes of them. Wei is currently about 1 in a million units of Ether. Same thing as well applies to Bitcoin, you understand, where we have Satoshis. So the same format for Satoshis in Bitcoin is the same thing for Wei in Ether. And so Fini is 1 million units of Wei. So that's what a Fini is. And so looking at all of that numbering system and all of that definition, I brought it back into conversations and you contributed into conversations where you say, here's my 1 cent, here's my 10 cent. Yes, I said, I decided to just pick a number and I picked 50. I said, this is 50 Fini. And so 50 Fini is a way for me to contribute. 50 Fini is the way for me to write about my thoughts. 50 Fini is a way for me to basically shed more light about some of the interesting concepts happening in the world of Web3 and crypto, especially as relates to Ethereum and the rest of them. And so what we do keep on doing is looking at research and breaking it down for our users to understand or for our readers to understand. And then in the future, we'll be going into more and more in-depth research, you know, looking at how we can actually do research for people who want to understand a bit more about how the blockchain works, about more about how Ethereum works and how they can actually work to use the chain in future, and talk about the different types of innovation being built right now currently on Web3. So from DeFi to NFTs, you know, to Web3 gaming and the rest of them. And so that's the goal for 50 Fini, is to continue to put our research there, continue to break down complex subjects, complex topics for people, for everyday users who want to just read and get a grasp of what's going on.
Oh, that's great. So how do you anticipate the account abstraction affecting the future development of the Web3 industry?
I mean, I see it as a very positive sign and a very positive development that's coming. I mean, right now, I think Shanghai is about to get passed, but I don't think aircraft traction will be going with this yet. Shanghai should go out by March, April of this year, and then we can start looking at implementing aircraft traction in the next stage of the Ethereum rollout. And so by the time this comes out, I anticipate before the end of the year, or maybe by the end of the year, hopefully it comes out. One of the things that I'm looking forward to are the practical use cases that I mentioned to you earlier, which is now the number of transactions you need to do to interact with the dApp is now shortened. So rather than doing three steps or three transactions, you can just sign one transaction and then you're good to go. You've got it started. So that's one. Another thing is in the payment of gas fees, you know, for transactions, which would be very, very low now. So imagine before when you had to do three transactions, probably costing you maybe roughly about $10 per transaction. That would have been $30 per transaction. But now you can do it in one, and then it's now basically down to just $10. So that actually makes a lot of sense for the everyday users and for those people who want to use the Ethereum chain directly. So those are kind of things that I'm anticipating about the future development for account traction. And specifically for the Web3 industry, I think down the line in future, as we onboard more people into the Ethereum chain or into crypto itself, I anticipate that a lot of the financial tools that we're currently using today, some of them might be moved into crypto or into Web3. Right now, today, we're talking about things like reward assets. So whereby you can tokenize your real estate, tokenize your car, and bring it into the world of blockchain. With things like account abstraction, things like that will be easier to implement. And then they will be easy for everyday person to understand. So yes, that kind of things I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, thanks, Daniel. It's I believe also it's gonna be a bright future, a positive future of this account abstraction. And that's all the question I got for today. It's really appreciated that you spend your weekend time with us.
Thank you. I mean, great to hang out with you guys. I'm sure it's like 9 p.m. now on your time, on your hand.
Yeah. Account abstraction is well worth everyone's expectations. This will not only significantly increase the number of users on-chain, but the high degree of freedom brought by account abstraction to developers will solve the pain points of the current account system and create new applications, gameplay, and imagination. Although a compromise solution such as EIP-4337 still have practical issues such as high gas and poor compatibility, promoting EIP-4337 is also an option for concept promotion and consensus enhancement. With the popularization of concept, account abstraction and contract wallet will move from niche to mainstream. Promote protocol capability from user needs and form a new account paradigm. In the end, under broad consensus, Ethereum had the condition to directly change the underlying code to achieve account abstraction. This new account system will be more conducive to attracting new users and the traffic for Web3, stimulating the vigorous development of the ecology, thus forming a positive cycle. Thanks again to Daniel, to 50 Finney. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, I think everyone could go to try 50 Finney, try this account abstraction. And also on the screen, there is some our kids can join Daraki. We always have such a great talk, a fully learning this kind of satisfying, if you know what I mean, talking this episode. We have a lot of great articles. So join us to learn, to share, to listen, to watch, to all of this. And be sure to try 50 Finney. Thanks again, Daniel. It's a really great talk with you.
Same here.